To the brightest audience in the country, I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYAR. There were two statements that we've made, one last month and one on and off over the last 10 years. And the one last month is that a judge, remember this headline? This was a Newsday story from December 26th, and here's the headline. Judge, federal judge, says county cannot ban pedophile from giving kids balloons at a park. So some federal judge, a U.S. district judge, ruled that that the government cannot ban a convicted pedophile from making balloon animals and giving them to kids at a park. And that, of course, that infuriates me because one of the main roles of government is to protect its citizens and especially children, especially from predators, especially from sexual predators. And so anyway, that judge, you know, it reminds me of the judge who said that the Pledge of Allegiance is unconstitutional. What a rocket scientist that guy is, because it says under God in the pledge, one nation under God. And the Constitution itself refers to Jesus Christ as our Lord. So how could it be unconstitutional to say under God in the pledge? And then Republicans, conservatives, were saying these Democratic judges are ruining our country, and so we need to get more Republican judges appointed and approved by the Senate. And so, and I heard that from a number of Republicans, talk show hosts and callers. So I thought I'd check out the judge, and it turns out that the judge who wrote that ruling was appointed by a Republican president. And so I made a guess, and the guess was that the county judge, the judge who ruled that the county cannot stop the pedophile, that judge was probably appointed by a Republican president also. So today I called the judge's chambers and got through to his clerk, and so we'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that prediction, see who appointed that judge. And then also the statement over the years that the homosexual community had this group, the suicidal group, self-destructive mindset, and that when they were passing AIDS to one another, HIV, and receiving AIDS, that they were doing it partly intentionally. And so now here's a story out in Rolling Stone magazine. I got this report from Drudge, that a San Francisco county medical health director says that 25% of all newly infected homosexual men got HIV intentionally. And this article quotes some of these guys and the homosexual men who intentionally infect other men. They call the homosexual men who want to be HIV positive, they call themselves bug chasers. And the homosexual men who give them the virus, they call them gift givers. How's that? So we'll do those two stories, and we'll take your calls. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYAR, 1-800-836-9278. Now, today's an anniversary date, isn't that right? Yeah, a tragic anniversary date. Roe v. Wade, January 22nd, 1973, 30th anniversary. Right now, we're at about 1.3 million babies being killed every year by abortion, by an abortionist taking money to kill a child. Many of these kids are sucking their thumbs, playing with their toes. So that's the anniversary today. Let's go to Goshen, Indiana. Andrew, speak your mind.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hi, I'm kind of excited. I participated in my first pro-life demonstration today.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, for a number of years, I wanted to do something, and I never had anybody tell me, oh, come join us and protest here or anything. And so today, this evening, I was driving across town on my way to a job, and...
Is this in Goshen?
Yep, in Goshen.
All right.
And right at the corner of Main and Lincoln, I saw a bunch of people holding signs and stuff, and I thought, well, hey, I can put off that job a little bit, and I just pulled over and joined them.
Isn't that great? Congratulations, Andrew. And so describe the protest. What was going on?
Just a group of people, middle-aged people and children mostly, just standing there on the courthouse lawn along the street, mm-hmm. holding signs and pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the kids was holding a sign that said, take my hand, not my life.
Oh.
I thought that was really powerful.
Yes.
And I got one of those really big pictures of an aborted child.
Oh, my. Those are intense.
They are. And I used a lesson I learned from watching panhandlers in some of the big cities, that when the cars stop at the stoplight, you just kind of slowly walk down right past each car.
Yeah, walk the line there.
Yeah, that gets some attention, too.
You're not kidding. And, you know, when we've held those despicable, terrible signs showing a baby that's been mutilated by an abortionist, and they could be, some of them are so terribly gruesome.
Yes, they are.
And I'll get maybe a pro-abort liberal to say that's not true, that the picture is a lie. And so rather than defend the obvious, I'll take a different approach, and I'll say, you know, you're right, this baby was not killed by an abortionist. He must have been killed by a drunk driver, and we're just lying by showing the picture. We're just lying because surely no doctor in America would ever do this to a baby. Surely Hillary Clinton would not allow this. Surely the Republican Party would not take business as usual when things like this were going on every day in America. So,
yeah, I have to say that when I saw that poster, I just about couldn't handle it myself. I about started crying. I mean, it's just horrible.
I agree with you. All right, Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you. You too. I appreciate the call. And welcome to the battle. The battle is fought on the streets and in the workplace and over the airwaves and in church. Especially the churches that don't really want to talk about uncomfortable things like abortion and public schools. Ugh. We'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here on Bob and Yurt Live. Hey, we are so thrilled that the show is growing, the audience is growing. We hear from people every day that new people, and we've been on the air since 1991, and it's thrilling to now be on in 8 cities. What are they? Do I know them by memory here? Indianapolis, Rochester, New York, Denver, Colorado, South Bend, Indiana, Springfield, Massachusetts. Where else are we on? Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, and that's the seat of our network, our headquarters, Information Radio Network, and Memphis, Tennessee. And that's exciting to be on there. And then also Knoxville, Tennessee, and New Orleans. So the show is growing, and it's thanks to those of you in the audience who support us either by purchasing our materials on the Bible, our debates on videotape and audio albums, teaching through books of the Bible, seminars. If you're interested in getting some of our materials, you can call us at 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. And we could talk to you about what you might be interested in, a video on the death penalty, on the resurrection of Christ, our Bible tour of Israel, Get Out of the Matrix, where I debate a college philosophy class, live from Las Vegas, debating folks on the convention floor, convention center floor, morality, why God forbids sexual immorality. Our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. Of course, you can also make a pledge to help us stay on the air in your city and on the internet at kgov.com. You know what I'm going to have to do when we get back on the air? Because we're still in the commercial break here for a bit more. I'm going to have to invite people to Denver Bible Church this Sunday morning because we've got a potluck after church. And we'll have a TV set up there for any of the guys who are hardcore Super Bowl fans. Of course, it's the Raiders. And so, really, who cares? But, huh? Oh, we do care. Kill the Raiders. Ha, that's right. Who's playing? Who are the Raiders playing? The Buccaneers? You know, I forget, too. I should know, but since the Broncos are not in, who cares? But so anyway, we'll have to invite people when we get back on the air, which is in about, what, 10 seconds from now? Okay, we'll do that because this is an internet-only spot. All right. We're back, Bob and Eric Live, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, we're having a potluck after the service of Sunday school at 9:30. If you live in the Denver area, I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, right? But the Broncos aren't in, so who cares? Well, I know some people care. But the Raiders are in, so we do care. You know, the Raiders have got to lose. So we'll have a TV off in the background for any of our Denver Bible Church members who obsessively hate the Raiders and really want to see them lose. But it'd be a good time for people to come to visit because then when people come to visit the church because they hear the show, Bob and Eric Live, you know, things are hectic at church. Even though we only have a small church, it's hard to get around to chat with everybody. This way, after the service, we've got Sunday school and the service. We're talking about marriage this week in both. And then after the service, we'll have dinner, have a meal together, potluck. So if you've been thinking about visiting, come on out this Sunday and meet the people of the church, the best families around, and then we'll have a meal together. Hey, feel free to bring something. You don't have to, you know, I guess you could come empty-handed, but you better not. If you're a single guy, what should single guys bring? Just bring ice, okay? Single guys, just ice. Anything else? Hot sauce? What can a single guy not ruin? Ice. Ketchup? How about paper products? Single guys, napkins, cups, or ice? And the rest of you, just be creative. Okay. Hey, so we have said on the show over the years that part of the problem with the spread of AIDS in America is that it's intentional because homosexuals often have this group, this destructive attitude that spreads through the group. And so here's this report, the DrudgeReport.com has the story of the Rolling Stone magazine. They're set to really open a controversy with this four-page report titled Bug Chasers, The Men Who Long to Be HIV Positive. This is one sick story. It's just disgusting even to do the story, but it's important to understand a real significant dynamic in the homosexual community. And so let's take a look at this. The story claims that some men with HIV are deliberately passing it on to those who want to be infected. Now, here's a quote from their February 6th edition. Now, that's not out yet, is it? The men who want the virus are called bug chasers, and the men who freely give them the virus are called gift givers. While the rest of the world fights the AIDS epidemic, and most people fear HIV infection, this subculture celebrates the virus. We've been talking about that for years, that HIV has its own civil rights. It's the first virus to come with civil rights. And there's nothing as great. Our culture has exalted, let's say, a homosexual prostitute who is HIV positive. He is treated like a celebrity because he has AIDS. And, of course, when the culture does that, when it celebrates a destructive behavior, it, of course, increases the spread of that destructive behavior. And so here from Rolling Stone, of all places, and Rolling Stone, generally, do you believe things in Rolling Stone? Well, if they were going to say that rap, people who listen to rap have better marriages, I would tend to not believe them. But if they say anything against what's politically correct, anything against, let's say, abortion is unhealthy or homosexual behavior is unhealthy, then those things would have credibility because they would go against the bias that Rolling Stone would normally have. And there's the most credibility when a witness or a source is saying something that goes against its own bias. So here, Rolling Stone says that this subculture in the homosexual community celebrates the virus and eroticizes it. At least 25% of all newly infected homosexual men fall into the bug-chasing category, according to one claim in the special report by a director with the San Francisco Health Department. Man, in this world, says the article, the men with HIV are the most desired, and the bug chasers will do anything to get the virus. Gay groups, now that's how Drudge says it here. I prefer not to use the word gay. Homosexual groups aggressively encouraged the Rolling Stone magazine to drop the article, but apparently they're going ahead with it. One passage captures a young man in New York City who wants to be infected. And here's the quote out of Rolling Stone magazine, February 6th edition. His eyes light up as he says that the actual moment of transmission, the instant he gets HIV, will be, quote, the most erotic thing I can imagine. An infector is quoted in Rolling Stone magazine in this article as saying, quote, I'm murdering him in a sense, killing him slowly, and that's sort of, as sick as it sounds, exciting to me, says the homosexual man who's infected with HIV, who's quoted in the article. Most AIDS activists prefer to deny the problem exists to any significant extent, says Dr. Bob C-A-B-A-J. Cabbage? No, but let's call him Cabbage anyway. Says Dr. Bob Cabbage, the director of behavioral health services for San Francisco County, and he's the past president of Gay and Lesbian Medical Association. Oh, brother. That's all we need. Well, at least he's admitting the truth on this, coming out of the closet on this. You know what they called AIDS before they called it AIDS? Does anybody in the studio audience know? What was AIDS called by the medical community before they gave it its polite name? It was called Gay Man's Bowel Syndrome. That's what it was called first. And with the back during the 90s, when the cry was that our country was going to be devastated by AIDS and it was going to affect all people, all demographic groups. And here on Bob and Yurt Live, we let our audience know that's not true. It's not going to happen. It'll continue to hurt the homosexual community, and that's about it. There'll be secondhand cases of AIDS where homosexuals will give it to HIV, to drug users who mainline drugs into their veins, and homosexual men will come back home and give it to a wife or a girlfriend occasionally. But generally, AIDS will continue to hurt the homosexual community, except for secondhand AIDS. And so today, what kills more people, AIDS or the flu in America? Any guesses in the studio audience? If you think it's AIDS, put up one finger. The flu, put up two. We'll see. Okay, almost everybody thinks it's AIDS. It's the flu. The flu kills more people per year than AIDS. Yeah. And the vast majority of the people it does kill are homosexuals. And, of course, this is all a tragedy. But the problem is that the homosexual lifestyle, it's not a lifestyle, it's a death style. Heterosexuality leads to life. Homosexuality leads to death. So Cabbage here was the former president of the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association, and he said they do not want to address that this is really going on. And Cabbage claims that at least 25% of all newly infected homosexual men fall into the bug-chasing category. That is just too gross. I remember the homosexual community in New York City was just enraged over a story. This happened in the early 90s, and we reported it on the air when it was occurring. And it was this, that a homosexual man had lured a first grade boy into his home. The first grader was walking to school every day right in front of this homosexual's home or apartment. And so one way or another, he lured the boy into his apartment and then raped the boy. And so the boy, you know, he tells the boy, don't tell anyone. The boy tells. The police investigate, and the police arrest the homosexual child rapist pervert. And to make matters even worse, they find out that the rapist was HIV positive. He had AIDS, in fact. And so they tell the parents. And the homosexual community in New York City went ballistic with anger that the homosexual man's rights were violated by the police when they said that he had AIDS. Could you believe the gall of that? Could you believe the gall? And you want to know why the Bible says that that homosexuals should be put to death? You know, homosexuality is one of the most vile and wicked sins that anyone can commit. After they've emptied the cup of lust to its dregs, and they end up in the gutter and in the sewer, then there's nothing left to do but to try out homosexuality. And, you know, human beings, they like to rebel against God and against authority. And if there's a barrier, they want to knock it down. So God says sex is only for within marriage. Well, to liberals, to people who hate God, that's a barrier. They knock it down. They say, no, outside of marriage. Oh, and then another barrier, lo and behold, pops up. What is it? They got to knock that one down. All right, 1-800-836-9278. Now, when you tune into the show, remind yourself that it airs at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And so you can call in, even if you're listening on the web, kgov.com, whatever time you happen to listen to the archive versions of the show, when it's 9 o'clock Eastern Time, now you got to calculate that for your time zone, whatever it is, 6 p.m. on the West Coast, on the left coast, then call in. Call in with a comment, a question, an issue, a debate. Have a liberal call in. In fact, you dial the phone and hand it to your liberal friend and say, here, try to say something intelligent. And then whatever they say, the audience will crack up laughing at whatever moronic thing comes out of your liberal friend's mouth. So that'll be enjoyable to take your call or from one of your friends. So when we go back on the show, we have to finish this, the barriers regarding sexual behavior. What are the barriers that liberals want to knock down? First is marriage. So they want to have sex outside of marriage. Then what comes next? Gender. So they want to have sex with the opposite gender or the same gender. What comes next? Age. So they want to have sex with children. How about species? Right? They want their bestiality. They advocate that. Oh, yeah, relationships. I bet you of all these, age is last, pedophilia. Let's see. Family, incest. All right, so those are the barriers. And they're the barriers that liberals want to knock down. As soon as they knock down one, another one pops up. So we'll talk about that when we get back on the air. Oh, yeah, and then we got to go to the judge who ruled that the county cannot ban a pedophile because of free speech. The convicted child molester has the right of free speech, even if he's using it to lure children to himself in a public park. How's that one? Boy, does that infuriate you? And who's the judge in that case? And I wonder if he's a Republican. And how about that child pornography ruling a while back by the U.S. Supreme Court? Now, since 7 of the 9 are appointed by Republicans, I'm sure that was a good ruling, right, on child pornography, strengthening the child pornography laws. We're back. Bob and Hart Live, 1-800-836-9278. Now, we'll get to that district, U.S. district judge in a moment, who ruled on behalf of the pedophile for luring kids to him in a public park because it was his free speech right. We'll find out if he was appointed by a Republican or a Democrat. But, if God said sex within marriage, so a rebellious people, liberals, folks who hate God, people who, because of a lack of humility, refuse to submit to authority, they say, don't tell me what to do. Well, sex is for within marriage. Don't tell me what to do. And they say you can have sex. You don't have to get married. So that's the first barrier they knock down is sex before marriage. And then there's another barrier. Once they knock that down, so two unmarried people, they say, can have sex, then another boundary is adultery, marriage itself. You cannot have sex with another man's wife. And they say, don't tell me what to do as long as you've got consenting adults. So they knock down that barrier. So you can even seduce someone's wife or husband. And then they can do that. And then that's legal. And then, so what's the next boundary? Well, it's gender. You only have sex between, male and female. And they say, don't tell me what to do. If we're lesbians, if we're women, if we're men. So they knock down that boundary. And then I was debating Mike Rosen on KOA as a caller, and he had a guest a homosexual activist out of New York City, and the homosexual activist was defending incest, saying incest should be legal. Sex between a father and a son or a daughter, brothers and sisters, mother and child. The homosexual activist defending incest. So the next boundary is family relations, close family relations. And they say, don't tell us what to do. You think they really care if a child, as a result, a child comes into existence and that child has some kind of a terrible genetic deficiency, maybe lethal? You think they care? No, it's selfishness. It's rebellion. So they knock down that barrier. So if it's incest, as long as it's consenting adults. And then, believe it or not, the whole issue of species being a boundary. Species, Homo sapiens, human beings. And so the pornography industry has no end of porn available with human beings and animals. And the lawyers who write the zoning codes for cities all over America have in the boilerplate the generic zoning codes that counties use, that they should allow bestiality, entertainment, videos being sold that show women and animals having sex. And they knocked down that barrier. And then it used to be that young children, say ages 14, 15, 16, that they couldn't have sex with anyone because it was, if anything, it was rape. It was statutory rape. They knocked down that boundary because now they're child sex advocates. And they say if 14, 15-year-old kids want to have sex, that's their right. They can do it. And then the final barrier to go is adults having sex with children. And we see that barrier, they're working on that barrier. So whatever the next barrier is, they got to knock it down. And that's one of the reasons that the liberal community likes homosexuality. You think Bill Clinton likes to hang out with homos? There's no way in the world. But they recognize it intuitively as this extraordinary rebellion against God. And so therefore, they're pro-homosexual rights. Give me a break. Okay, so now let's go to the judge. 1-800-836-9278. The U.S. District Judge John Martin in New York ruled on a case, and we mentioned this ruling the day it was issued, that this county, Westchester County in New York, had told a convicted sex offender that he could not make balloon sculptures. You know how they make puppies and all animals out of balloons, and kids love that, and they twist them together, nice colors, hang them on a string so you could dangle them behind you. And kids love that. And so this child, convicted child molester, was making these balloon sculptures and giving them to children. And so the county said he can't do it. And U.S. District Judge John Martin said that the convicted child molester, Richard Hobbs, that he has a First Amendment protection from being kept out of the park. This no good, lousy, filthy judge. And the day that we did that story, I remember saying, hey, you know, this judge, I don't know anything about this judge. I've never heard of him before, but I'll bet you money that he was appointed by a Republican president. Because over the years we look and we notice, and so many of the most despicable rulings are by Republican judges, like the U.S. Supreme Court. They just gave this ruling that gutted our child pornography laws. And it was a ruling in favor of the child pornographers that pitched them. The child pornographers, they were saying, hey, if we make a video of a child being raped, we might be able to make that with computer animation. And it looks like a real child, but hey, it might be computer animated. And so we should have the right to do that. And even though the U.S. Supreme Court, or maybe especially because the U.S. Supreme Court, 7 of the 9 were appointed by Republican presidents, Of course, they bought that absurd argument that that child pornography needs to be allowed if it's computer generated. And it's getting harder and harder to recognize, to identify, to distinguish between computer generated and actual photos, Memorex. And so there was just a case where the FBI had to drop charges against a child pornographer, against somebody for possessing child pornography, because they had to prove that the children in the photos, that the children were real children and not computer generated. And they said, we can't do that. We can't even find these children. They were victimized. And so here's another child sex predator who goes free thanks to the Republican U.S. Supreme Court, 7-9. You think we'll get excited now if George W. Bush gets to appoint 8 of 9? And the pledge was ruled unconstitutional by that California federal court. And because it says under God, and our Constitution refers to Jesus Christ as our Lord in Article 7. Refers to Jesus Christ as our Lord. How could the Pledge of Allegiance be unconstitutional by saying under God? It says one nation under God on our money. No, it says in God we trust. And the Supreme Court has ruled that that's valid. So this judge in California, Republican talk show host and Christian conservatives, used that ruling to say it's despicable what these liberal judges appointed by Clinton, I actually heard some of them say, are doing to our country. We got to get George Bush's judges through. And so I look up the judge who did the pledge ruling, and he was appointed by a Republican president, not a Democrat. And so then I call this U.S. District Judge John Martin. I call his chambers today. And I talked to his clerk. And I asked about the judge's background. And she said that he was appointed on April 6, 1990. And he entered into service May 22, 1990. And I asked who nominated him. And she said, oh, President George Bush, Sr. Of course, it would be the senior back in 1990. And so was it a surprise that this judge was appointed by a Republican president and that the judge who said the pledge is unconstitutional because it mentions God, that he was appointed by a Republican president, and that 7 of the 9 of the members of the U.S. Supreme Court who gutted our child pornography laws were appointed by Republican presidents? And was it a surprise that George W. Bush destroyed the Texas Supreme Court, packing it with pro-aborts? Was that a surprise? Now, in Texas, they vote for their Supreme Court judges, but the governor has a tremendous influence on who ends up on the court, and it was his guys, what was it, 5 out of the 7, that he had a role in getting on the bench? I've got all the specifics, their names, their decisions, the radical pro-abortion decisions that they made. And he brought the Texas Supreme Court Chief Justice with him to the White House as his legal counsel. And he was one of the leading pro-aborts on the Texas court. And he's the one who insiders are saying Bush would probably nominate to the U.S. Supreme Court. You see, they do this because they know Christians are stupid. All right. Hey, commercial break. This is an internet commercial break. KGOV.com, KGOV.com. I wonder when I've been debating whether or not to clarify a comment from last night's show. And so now I'm thinking I should probably do it, but I have to wait till we get on the air. It was in a funny segment, really. It was in the segment where we're talking about the human shields and what cowards they were. They're going to sit in front of hospitals and schools and they should be on radar sites and ammo dumps and in the Republican Guard barracks. That's where they should be, going to Iraq. They're going to sit in hospitals. We don't bomb hospitals, you losers. But anyway, in the course of explaining that, I put two words together that sounded like I was making a vulgar joke. Now, I don't know what percentage of people in the audience caught it, and it was completely unintentional. And the two words together came out of my mouth, I realized what they sounded like. And I just let it go because I didn't want to fan the flames of a mess. But today, pretty much every person I talked to noticed immediately, as soon as the statement was said. And so, you know, I'm not going to repeat the statement, but I think I will when we get on the show, back on the air, because this is an internet-only break, I think I'm going to mention it. So, all right, I'll do it. I just decided. Last night, unintended. And it wasn't actually a comment. It wasn't a vulgar statement, but it sounded like a vulgar statement. It came close to one. So, yeah, I'll do it. I'll explain it because I don't want people to think that we make vulgar jokes on the show. You know, we try to avoid bathroom humor, and that's been our goal for how long we've been on the air? 12 years. 12 years. Hey, April, it'll be 12 years on the air. Huh. We'll be right back. Bob Enyart, you're invited to attend Denver Bible Church or visit us on the web at denverbiblechurch.com. All right, our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. I wanted to clarify something from last night. Last night, one of the first segments of the show, it was really a funny segment. We've had a number of funny things happen on the show recently. But last night, there was the segment about the human shields going to Iraq. And the reports have stated over the past weeks that the human shields are going to targets like hospitals and schools and mosques. And we said, what cowards they are. They should go to ammo dumps and radar sites and sleep in a Republican Guard barracks. That's what they should do. Some surface-to-air missile site. Go sit on a Scud launcher. That's what they should do. Because we don't bomb hospitals. But no, they're going to hospitals and schools, universities. They have universities in Baghdad, I guess. They probably have Saddam Hussein University, SDU. And in the course of explaining that cowardice, I put two words together that as soon as they came out of my mouth, I realized that if you just heard those two words, it could have sounded like it was a vulgar joke, like an allusion to a vulgar expression. And it was completely unintended. And I thought better just let it go and not even say anything about it. And today, everyone I talked to who heard the show last night, everyone recognized it, brought it up, mentioned it. And on this show, we don't forget about vulgar humor. We don't even do bathroom humor. That could be vulgar enough. And that's been our goals over the years. So in case you noticed it at the beginning of last night's show, it was unintentional. And I'm not even going to repeat what it was because we don't do that on the show. We don't do bathroom humor. We don't do, who's that idiot on ABC? And he had a show on the Comedy Channel. Who's that idiot? I was on Politically Incorrect with him on two different occasions. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel, I said to him, you know, Jimmy, they used to do romantic comedies, and now they do genital comedies. And you're not exactly a comedian. You're a crotch humorist. And he just was furious. And so a few months later, I was on the show again, and I just threw the term out, and I said, you know, we've got a lot of crotch humorists. And he was sitting across from me, and he said, oh, is that me? Is that me? And we talked about it for 10 minutes. It was almost like taking over the show, Politically Incorrect, for 10 minutes. And the two women guests ended up agreeing with me that pornography is a despicable sexual exploitation of women, and it's wrong. And I argued that it's illegal, that it should be illegal. It should be criminal to sexually exploit women. And that is the proper Christian position on that issue, that pornography should be criminal. But we've got the morality in media. What's the guy's name who's the president of morality in media, that Christian guy, neat guy? What's his name, Bob Peters? And what is morality in media's position on pornography? Bob Peters as the president? They're pro-choice when it comes to pornography. They're pro-choice, the right to sexually exploit women, to manufacture pornography, and to consume it, to pay for it. They believe that should be legal. Too much, huh? Oh, brother. I got an email from Porter at one of our affiliates, and he said, hey, Bob, you said Boulder. That's vulgar. What, Boulder, Colorado? Well, you got a point there, Porter. Vulgar is vulgar. Boulder. Boulder humor, not vulgar humor. Okay, the People's Republic of Boulder is vulgar. I agree with that. Hey, so at any rate, let me give you our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. In February, I will be attending, along with a group of our associate producers, the NRB in Nashville, Tennessee, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And we'll have a great time there. We'll broadcast live from the convention center floor on Monday and Tuesday. What's that, February 10th and 11th. And then, Lord willing, on the 12th, Wednesday, we will broadcast Bob and Yurt Live from the Information Radio Network headquarters, from the studio there in Memphis, Tennessee. So we're really looking forward to all that. All right, now let's get back to our news stories. Our number, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I've been hanging on to this story for a while. Got this on CNN, and it was just devastating out of Michigan. A woman drowned her two daughters and then shot herself to death. And, you know, chances are, what's going on here? Chances are this is a PMS killing. That's what we call a premarital sex, even extramarital sex. You know how the FBI keeps crime statistics based on alcohol? How many crimes have alcohol as a factor, marijuana as a factor? Well, they don't keep sexual immorality as a factor, but they should. If they did, they'd find out what we already know. We know it because we're Christians, and we don't need polls to tell us the obvious. We don't need surveys to tell us the obvious. But sex outside of marriage is a factor in a huge percentage of murders, kidnappings, crimes of all sorts. So here's this Michigan woman who drowned her two daughters and then shot herself to death. And another factor going on here is, as suicide is defended in our culture, and we predicted years ago that the more that occurred, the more people would use suicide as a way of escape out of trying to get away with a crime. They'd kill people and then commit suicide and think they were solving their problems. And they don't realize they're trying to get away from their problems, and they fall right to the hands of an angry God. What does the New Testament say? Christians say, oh, that's the Old Testament God. As though God was messed up in the Old Testament, then he went to some counseling and he got better. The New Testament says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. And he's a God of vengeance, wrath, terror. God kills more people in the story of the New Testament than he did in the story of the Old Testament. In history, that's his story. What happens from the perspective of the truth, objective truth, from God's perspective, that's history. And God was not messed up in the Old Testament. He was and is a God of vengeance because he gets mad at people who kill their children. So this Michigan woman drowned her two daughters, then shot herself to death. And the bodies of the 24-year-old woman and her daughters were discovered when the woman's 8-year-old son came home from school. What a devastating story. Just devastating. So, you know, even the police officers investigating, they said, you know, we all have kids. And just this scene being here is so traumatic for all of us. Of course. Oh, just devastating. So the police, sheriff's detectives, said they did not have a motive. So, of course, I don't know. I don't have any inside information. But let's just say from case after case after case after case in history, chances are that sexual immorality is involved in the killing of those two little girls. One way or another, that woman's life was ruined, and sexual immorality played a key role. All right. Hey, our phone number, boy, we're almost out of time, huh? 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. You know, up in Canada, we got an email. We got friends up in Canada. And here's an Alberta judge that argued that an inmate in prison, that it was legal for him to carry a knife. He had a homemade knife, and that's in jail. You can't have contraband, things that are not allowed. And so this judge named Shelagh Cray, C-R-E-A-G-H, this judge acquitted the inmate after finding that the knife, he said he carved the knife for self-defense. So the judge said that's legal. So basically that gives carte blanche to inmates to carry weapons. Now, you tell me, are the inmates running the asylum, or are the inmates running the asylum? Yes or no? From Canada, down south to Michigan, where the Michigan State's their chief mental health official, he was talking about those who want to punish criminals, you know, rapists and murderers. And he said that the people who want to punish criminals are mentally ill. And he's the number one state mental health official. And he thinks mental illness is criminal justice to him is mental illness. Are the inmates running the asylum? Is the country messed up? The world? Is Bob and Yet remind you to do right and risk the consequences?